Our scripture lesson this morning is one verse from 3 John. 3 John only has one chapter, so many times when you read a reference to 3 John, there'll be no chapter, there'll just be the verse numbers, but we've included it so that it's not too confusing. But it's the only chapter of 3 John, and it's verse 2, the second verse of that chapter. Let's read these words aloud together. Dear friend, I pray that you are doing well in every way and that you are healthy, just as your soul is healthy. This is the word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. We are beginning a new series of messages today, series that I've chosen to entitle Healthy. And as I was sitting here, as the service was about to get started, and I looked up and I saw the graphic that we had on the screen, Healthy, I had this epiphany that if I'd called this Healthy Self, which is not a bad title for the series as well, we could actually divide the word healthy into two words, and it would say, heal thyself. And there is a good bit of truth in that, that much of our health is due to our own personal responsibility, the choices that we make to care for ourselves, the whole person, not just our physical health, but ourselves and our emotions, our mental health, our spiritual health, of course, mental health, our relational health with other people, the people that we love and care about. We could go on and on. There's so much about life that's dependent upon health, good health, for us to have a full and abundant life, a life that reaches its God-given potential. But of course, as we all know, we miss the mark, don't we? We've all made mistakes that have impacted our health, the holistic view of oneself. So we could say that much of what we're going to be talking about over these next 6 weeks has to do with our own personal responsibility. Heal thyself. A healthy self is a responsible self. Now, I want to give you just a little bit of information here to start with before we have prayer and I begin the sermon. And that really has to do with the idea of the soul. Connie and I were discussing this earlier this week. And there is a fair amount of debate with regard to the true nature of human beings. Some say that we are a duality, that we are a body that is indwelt by a spirit slash soul, and that the spirit and the soul are two different entities. I think a better understanding of human nature is found in a triunity. Just as there are three persons in the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there are three essential elements to the nature of men and women. There is the body. There is the soul, which encompasses your emotions, your will, your intellect, your mind, your thinking capacity, your desire, your aspirations. All those things that we associate with personality, those reside in the soul. And the spirit is that part of us that is created in the image of God, that mirrors God's character and His nature, and is indwelt, in fact, by the Holy Spirit for every believer. So there's the body and the soul and the spirit, and these three make up the full humanity of every individual that lives on earth. An analogy that came to me yesterday for the first time, and I don't know if it'll help you, but being kind of a geek when it comes to computers, I thought this actually was pretty good, and I don't know that I've read it anywhere. It just kind of popped in my head. But your body is your hardware, all right? Your body is your hardware. Your soul is the software that resides in that hardware, and your spirit is the life force, the energy that is created in the image of God that animates it all and will live forever. So think about that. Maybe that will help you to get a better handle on this. Now let's bow our heads for prayer, and then we'll look at today's introductory message to Healthy. God, we thank you that there is nothing about you that is unhealthy. that holistically in your personhood, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are complete. You are without decay or sickness, without flaw or sin. You are a holy God, and you call us to be holy as well. And holiness for us, Lord, often is so narrow and so limited in understanding. But we pray over these next weeks that we'll grow in our appreciation of the gift of our lives, of our bodies, of our souls, and our spirits. And that somehow we will find ourselves stepping closer and closer to you and to living into our fullest potential as human beings while we have time here on earth. Lord, we consecrate our lives to you and to your purposes. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come and help me with this very difficult message. I've struggled over this sermon all week. It has been such a hard one because I fall so woefully short of your standard, of your ideal. So help us all not to feel shamed or embarrassed, but rather empowered by the Holy Spirit to live different lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to ask you a question. Question I'm going to ask you over and over during these 6 weeks. How healthy are you? How healthy are you? Now, the older I get, the more difficult I find it to answer that question accurately. I mean, when I was younger, even though I wasn't especially athletic or fit, I considered myself to be very healthy. Most of us in our teens and our 20s and even into our 30s are able to do really well. And you can overcome a lot with the strength of youthfulness, can't you? Someone told me a long time ago, you can only borrow from your youthfulness so long. And then the consequences of your choices begin to come home to roost in midlife and as an older adult. And I have seen that to be true. There are consequences to how we live our lives, the stewardship of the wholeness of our lives, including our bodies. But for the past 25 years, I have without fail gone for an annual physical. Now, I know people that have not been to a doctor in 20 and 30 years and are proud of it. But for me, it's important. It's a measure of accountability on my life and helps me to kind of get my act together, usually for at least a few weeks every year, because nobody wants to have a bad annual physical, do we, Donna? We try to lose a little weight before we go in. We try to do a little better on our eating. We hope our blood pressure will be a little lower than it usually is. But that annual physical is something many people dread, and I'm one of them. But it has to be done, and it begins with a long list of questions. You all have seen the questionnaires. Takes probably 15, 20, 30 minutes, whatever, to fill all that out. And then the nurse calls you back and she makes you stand on that scale and takes your weight. And then you have to back up to the wall and they measure your height. And you know, the strangest thing has happened over the last decade. I am losing height. It happens to you as you get old, doesn't it? Yeah. I used to be just 6 feet tall. Now I'm 5'11", and I'm praying I don't go below that. And then the nurse takes you into an examination room, and she takes your blood pressure and says the doctor will be in shortly. And then my grumpy internal medicine doctor, I'm not going to call his name, but he can be really grumpy sometimes, he comes in and you know, he takes me through the whole ordeal. I mean, he looks in my ears and down my throat. He pokes around on my abdomen. He sticks his fingers in places where they don't belong. Then he orders, you know, a battery of tests to check, you know, urine and blood and all that kind of stuff. And then a few weeks later, he sends me a 2 or 3 page summary letter in which he tells me the same thing every year. You need to eat better, you need to lose weight, and you need to exercise more. Last year, I was talking with my son, the doctor, about a new health problem that I was having, and I was actually looking for some empathy. No. You know what they train doctors to do in medical school? To be dispassionate and objective and not to show emotion. And so I was expecting him to be concerned and say, oh, Dad, I'm so sorry that's going on. But instead he says to me with a well-reasoned, calm doctor voice, Dad, you're 60 years old. What you're experiencing is normal. Now, thankfully, I didn't have to pay for that advice. And then he went on to tell me, modern medicine can only go so far in mitigating the effects of aging and also your poor habits. Sorry I asked, son. But the bottom line in what he was saying to me is that, Dad, you're getting older and you're dying. We're all dying. We're in a process of dying. And it starts really the day you are born. There is no avoiding it. It will come to all of us at some point. There is a website called the Death Clock. Several years ago, I checked in and took a look at it. And you answer maybe 24 questions about your lifestyle, the choices you make, etc. There's a little bit there about genetics. And then you press a button and it tells you the day you're going to die. I'm going to tell Connie this for the first time so she can be prepared. July 16th, a Friday, 2038, at the age of 82, I'm going to leave this earth. That's what it said. The death clock told me that last night. I've got 21 more years left to live. Now, I've met few people that want to die. Very few, in fact, either physically and certainly spiritually. The question is, are we willing to do what is necessary to delay our deaths and prepare our souls for the life to come? How healthy are you physically and spiritually? Healthcare is on everyone's mind these days, isn't it? Oh, yeah, it is the political debate of the day. And this is nothing new. In fact, 2,000 years ago almost, John the Apostle is writing to his friend Gaius, this third short letter of the three epistles of John, and he says to him, he says, my dear friend Gaius, whom I genuinely love, dear friend, I pray that you are doing well in every way and that you are healthy just as your soul is healthy. A prayer for health, for physical health, for a friend who already is doing really well spiritually, according to John. Most of the prayer requests that we receive here at the church every single week that you put in the collection plate on Sunday mornings, most of those have to do with the need for restored health. Wanting others to pray for someone's healing. Sometimes it's for ourselves. If you do a Google search for the phrase, quote, repeal and replace, unquote, you will get over 1 million hits in 0.55 seconds. That is the hot topic right now. The headline in the Georgetown News graphic just this past Thursday on the upper fold of the front page was this: Scott County ranked 6th healthiest county in the state. Do you see that? But what about you? Are you healthy? We live in a county that's healthier than most in Kentucky. But are you a healthy person? Some would say that we have fat bodies and skinny souls. In fact, that was almost my sermon title, Jack. But I didn't want to insult anybody or shame anyone or keep someone out of church this morning, so I went with a more positive title. Healthy bodies, healthy souls. But I really wanted to put out there on the sign Wednesday, fat bodies, skinny souls. Because that in some ways describes the state of these United States of America as well as many Christians. Now, I want to say at the beginning of this series today, and I'm sure I'll say it again before we're finished, that I'm not setting myself up as a model of good health, either physically or spiritually. I mean, I want you to be like Jesus, not like me. I work too much and I don't get enough exercise. My blood pressure is high normal, bordering on being high. My blood sugar is pre-diabetic. I'm in that 100 to 125 range with about 84 million other Americans who will develop type 2 diabetes in their life if they don't change their lifestyles. I struggle making time for prayer every day and reading the Word. I don't consistently keep Sabbath. Like many of you, I'm not as healthy as I want to be. When the Holy Spirit laid this sermon series on my heart a few weeks ago, it was like, okay, God, this is not going to be easy. This is not an area of strength for me. It's an area of desire and longing, but I'm not living this out the way I should. So couldn't I preach on something else? But I kept coming back to this, that this is relevant. This is important for us today in the church. Because of all people, quite frankly, Christians ought to be among the healthiest in the nation. I gave up soft drinks 2.5 months ago. It's one of the hardest things I have ever done. I was addicted to Coke Zero. I'm not going to tell you how many I drank every day, but it's embarrassing. I've got more money in the bank account because of me breaking that addiction. And I haven't had one since. And that was back on May 3rd, something like that, when I stopped. I've lost some weight over the past month. Connie and I are trying to eat healthier and to be a bit more active. I've got some more weight to lose. I want to be healthy. I want you to be healthy. And there are at least two very important biblical reasons for this. In case you're wondering, I thought it was the soul that was so important. What's all this talk about healthy bodies? Well, first of all, what I want you to remember, and this is taught clearly in the Scriptures, both in the Old and the New Testament, that my body is important to God and I should take care of it. Someone say amen, please. Your body, my body, is important to God, and we ought to take care of it. One of the earliest heresies in the Christian church was something called Gnosticism. And the Gnostics believed that the material world, everything that we can see, including our bodies, was bad. Gnostics denied that Jesus was truly human. They said he appeared to be a man, a human being, but in reality he was not. He was a spirit only. The Gospel of John, however, says that the Word of flesh became what? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Gnostics believed that all matter was inherently evil. Therefore, what you did in this life, in your body, didn't matter. that really there was no moral accountability for what you did in your human bodies. It was an invitation to licentiousness and promiscuity, sexually speaking, to obesity, overindulging in food and drink. The body being evil had no consequence on what happened to the spirit when it was finally released to dwell with God. Now, if this heresy had taken root in the church and had overwhelmed good sound theology, there's no telling what Christianity would have looked like over the centuries. But thankfully, the truth of God prevailed as John, who is writing against Gnosticism in his first letter, in 1 John chapter 1, says this: "We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life." John says, we spent time with Jesus. And we can testify to you that he clearly, without any doubt or question, was fully human. Yes, he was the Son of God. Yes, he was the Word made flesh who dwelt among us, the Word of life. We saw him, we touched him, we looked at him, we ate meals with him. He was a human being just as we are all human beings. Paul says this about the human body. He says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your what? Your body." Are you honoring God with your body? That's a hard question to think about, isn't it? Are you honoring God with your body? Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, Paul says. And he makes this assertion in the midst of this discussion about food and sex, two of the most basic, primal human desires. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 13 from the Message. I love this paraphrase. He says, "You know the old saying, first you eat to live and then you live to eat. Well, your body is only temporary, but that's no excuse for either stuffing your body with food or indulging it with sexual immorality. Since the Lord honored you with a body, now honor Him with your body." The body is important. It's important to God, and I should take care of it. The body is not evil, as the Gnostics said. The Bible regards your body as being essential to being fully human, so take care of it. And the fact of the matter is, much of our health and the quality of our lives has to do with the individual, personal choices that we make every single day to care for this body. Wouldn't you agree? Now, the second thing is, my body is the home of the soul and the spirit, and I should live in it well for the glory of God. I read this story about the Reverend Murray McShane. He was one of the finest preachers to live in the 19th century in the country of Scotland. He was a dynamic servant of God and a missionary. He won many souls to Christ. And yet, he was 29 years old when he died. Think about that. Only 29 years old? And yet his life had such a profound impact on the nation of Scotland. And do you know how he died? He died from exhaustion and burnout. On his deathbed, he said this. He equated his body with a horse. He said, "God gave me a message to deliver and a horse to ride. Alas, I killed the horse and now I cannot deliver the message." And the message that this young man left with those who surrounded him at the moment of his death is, don't kill the horse on which your life rides. Take care of your body so that you are able to fully live out your life, no matter how long that life is, for the glory of God and for His purposes. You know, one of the things that really kind of irks me, I'm just going to be transparent with you as a pastor, is people who are angry and upset with God because their health is failing as they age and as they near death or as their loved one is dying. And it's obvious, it's clear that the person who is sick and or dying is an individual who has brought great harm on themselves, who is personally responsible for the premature death, for the sickness that has come upon them. I mean, to me, it's wrong to blame God for that. It is wrong for us to complain to God about our poor health and lack of energy if we are a person of inactivity. Should we blame God for our lack of self-discipline and exercise, for our poor eating habits, our abuse of tobacco, our overindulgence in alcohol or drugs or other reckless behaviors? Is it God's fault that you're not taking care of this body so that you can fulfill His purposes in your life? We should take care of ourselves physically so that we are useful to God spiritually. Listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is from Philippians chapter 1. Then we'll look at 2 Corinthians. Paul says, "For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain." And then Paul goes on to say, "If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which I prefer. I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is far more necessary for you." Paul had a very good understanding of the importance of living his life for the glory of God and fulfilling the purposes of Christ for his life as long as he had strength in his body. For him, living was Jesus Christ, and he knew in dying he would be with Christ. But he expresses this tornness, this conflict within himself, knowing that there awaits deliverance for him from all of the abuse that others have brought upon his body through persecution and beatings, and even in that present moment when he was in prison. So the body was critical, was important to Paul fulfilling his mission. And he knew that. But he also longed for the day when he would be freed from that body and would be with Christ. I've been wearing a pedometer to monitor my steps now for many years. It was at the encouragement of the Kentucky Annual Conference that the pastors in our conference be more active, be healthier. And so they signed up with a program called Virgin Health Miles. And Connie and I have been in it now for a lot of years, and we, without fail, virtually every single day, it's forgetfulness that keeps us from carrying our pedometers, but we carry a pedometer. The current one is a Fitbit, and I monitor my steps, and I look at this several times a day, and it's a reminder to me to get up from my desk and move around about every hour or two. Since we added to the building a couple of years ago, it gives me more space to walk in, which is a good thing. But the goal is to walk 7,000 steps daily at a minimum, and as many as 10,000 steps. Now, my prayer for you in these next weeks is that you will step up and take better care of yourselves. There's a well-known Chinese proverb that dates back over 2,500 years ago that says a journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step. We've all heard it. And there is great truth in that. And although restored health, better health, seems enormous to some of us, it starts with a few simple steps. So in caring for your body, I challenge you to take one step toward greater health by eating less sugar and more nutritious food. Because everybody knows, the evidence is there, that sugar is not good for you. Unless it's the Kiss kind, right? Number two, take one step toward greater health by eating less fast food. Fast food is destroying the health of many Americans. It's cheap. It's manufactured in an industrial way. We don't even want to know what's in some of those hamburgers that we buy at the drive-thru. I mean, I've seen some of the video online. It's horrifying that some of this pink sludge, this leftover animal product, is shaped and reformed into something that looks like a hamburger patty or a chicken nugget or something else. Take one step toward greater health by eating less fast food and instead take your lunch to work. Eat something healthy. Take one step toward greater health by going for a 20-minute walk during your lunch hour every day. Get up and get out of the office. Now, in caring for your soul, I exhort you to faithfully attend worship. Survey after survey by secular organizations. We're not talking about the biased church, but just recently there was yet another one that was done. People who faithfully attend church, who are involved in synagogue, who worship God, are healthier than those that don't, as a general rule. It's good for your health to take care of your soul. Spend at least 15 minutes daily reading your Bible. Use a devotional guide. Spend some time in prayer with God. Volunteer weekly to serve in some way that gets you outside of yourself and connects you with someone who has greater needs than yourself. And finally, stop complaining about what you don't have and start giving thanks for the things that you do have. If you complain enough, listen to me now, if you complain enough, God will give you exactly what you want, even though it's not what you need. In Numbers chapter 11, God's people complained to the Lord. We are getting sick and tired of this manna. This bread from heaven that you're sending us, that is sustaining us here in the wilderness as we make our way from a land of slavery to a land of milk and honey, a land of freedom, the land that you've promised us, as we are wandering in the wilderness, moving toward the promised land, we are sick and tired of manna. We want meat. We want meat. We remember the leeks and the onions and the fish that we ate while slaves in Egypt. We want meat, they said. And Moses warned them about this. He said, you shouldn't be complaining against God. But they continued to moan and groan. And so God gave them what they wanted. You know the story? Quail. Millions of quail flew into the camp and they were knee-deep. There were birds everywhere. And the people initially were so excited to have meat. You can just see the feathers flying in every tent. But the scripture says that while the meat was still in their teeth, they became sick and many died. Now, hundreds of years later, the psalmist commenting on this episode says this: God gave them their request, but sent leanness to their souls. Leanness to their souls. Fat bodies, skinny souls. And I wonder if we're much better off today. There's an awful lot of us that have indulged the fleshly desires. We want meat. You define it for yourself. We want meat. We don't have enough of the things of this world to satisfy those desires of our flesh. And in the process, we neglect our souls. So how healthy are you? Physically and spiritually. I invite you to join us in this journey over these next weeks as we look at a variety of ways that we can become healthier as the people of God and as disciples of Jesus. Now, we've allowed enough time this morning to pray for those of you that want to commit yourself to living a healthier life. Could be in your physical activity, could be in the way that you nurture your soul, your emotions, care for your mental health, your physical health, as well as your emotional health, your spiritual health, your soulish person. All those areas, they're all open here. And if you would like to come, we have anointing oil here, and Andrew and I are eager to pray with you as we sing our closing hymn. And you can remain standing, seated for that. We won't stand. It is well with my soul. Let's bow our heads.